This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, you can hear him as part of the Cavs Radio Network. You can vote for him if you'd like. I don't know if he's running for re-election at some point, but he is the mayor. He is Brad Sellers, the former Wisconsin Badger, Ohio State Buckeye, and the man who threw the pass that led to the shot. Hello, Brad. How are you, buddy?
Jeffrey, how are you?
Hello,
we're doing
Brad.
Well.
How are you?
Good. Wait, you threw the inbounds pass on the shot? I didn't know that. I forgot. Totally forgot about that.
You're probably going to have ESPN on Sunday then.
Oh, what's ESPN? Not sure of that. I'm still watching black and white television.
Yeah, there you were, Brad. Breaking the hearts of your fellow citizens.
Never seems to go away, does it?
Never does.
Never.
I keep looking for somebody else on that pass, but no, there you are.
Jeff, the good thing was, they got some commentary from some other people. They got Ron's and MJ's take on it. So,
by the way, before we get to a little deeper, how about Ron Harper lighting up Lenny Wilkins?
Yeah. People are still Jeff. People are still irritated 30 years later.
He is, isn't he?
He's still irritated. There's a lot of irritation in that show, isn't there?
Man, and now Isaiah Thomas is having to defend himself like crazy, and Lambert saying, I don't care. And MJ's.
I spent 45 minutes talking to a reporter about this thing on Thursday.
Yeah.
It's man.
It's 30 years later, Jeff. have we moved on?
Brad, I don't
It's easy from your seat to move on, not from ours. That's the problem.
Andy, I moved on.
Yes. Brad, who had you on that play? Who was guarding you?
Nobody.
Larry was kind of floating off of you, wasn't he?
To be honest, Andy, Larry was on me, right? Larry should have been on me. Lenny made a decision. They made the decision. I don't know if it was Lenny, the staff, the coach, the players. I don't know. They just said their best chance was to double-team Michael. Everybody in the building knew where the ball was trying to go, right?
Right.
So, in a gallant effort, right? You know, they put two people on them, right? And I can't say that it didn't work out well for them, but you know, it made it a little easier for me. But I was telling somebody last night. You saw it in that documentary. You see how hard he worked to get open.
Yeah.
And we were working in a very tight window. We had no timeouts on the sidelines, Jeff. You hand me the ball. I think I got to 1,004 count with 1 second left to get rid of that ball, right? And I was working in a very tight window because no one else really came to the ball. It was just him. So if I didn't get it to him, it was a done deal, right? So, and I was in a tight window, and he only got away from, because he left Craig from the beginning. He only got away from Larry in the last split second.
And then Craig kind of tried to catch up and didn't. What were you thinking when you saw that Ron wasn't on Michael there?
Well, to be honest with you, I saw Ron, and you know Ron's my guy, but I didn't see Ron. Right? I only saw who was on the person I had to get that ball to. Right? Because
right.
If I don't get that ball there, Jeff. It's a problem.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
It's a problem. It is a for real problem.
At any point did it go through your head? I was just saying, Brad, did it go through your head? You're like, damn, that play the Cavs just ran with Elo to get him the ball back on the give and go. Maybe we can do that. Maybe I can get the ball back and take it to the hole. Did that ever go through your head?
Well, you never played for Doug Collins, so you know the ball was never coming back to me.
I know.
But what I did say this, and Doug and I laugh about it now, right? What I said when Elo made that layup, I'm well on record telling people when I walked to the sideline for the timeout, I said to myself, damn, we've done all this hard work. We're going to have to lose this game. That's what I said to myself. I did. I mean, because it was only three ticks on the clock, three ticks.
Yeah. Wasn't much.
Three ticks. So you first thing I'm thinking, it's going to be a desperation play. But I give Mike credit. He shook him. He shoved one of them off of him. He did that. I think he shoved Larry.
If it's not a call, it's not a foul, Brad, right?
Right. And then, Jeff, when we were in doing the Cavs show, Larry and I were on the show, right? And so I asked Larry. I said, Larry, man, if you had to do it all over again, would you have put somebody on me? Because if Larry had been on me, Jeff, it would have been hard for me to see him. Because Larry was long. And like I said, we were already working in a tight window. It would have been difficult, right? So I asked Larry, would you do it all over again? You had to do it all over again. You know what he told me?
Huh.
He said, I absolutely would do it all over again. I said, why would you do that, Larry? You saw the result. He was like, because I'm a pro player. I should be able to stay with somebody for 3 seconds.
Wow.
Good point.
That's what he told me. Remember I told you, I said, it still bothers people. It still haunts people to this day.
Oh, yeah.
For various
reasons. Tell us about it, sir. Brad Sellers is joining us.
Jeff, it don't haunt me.
I would guess not, Brad.
I was like, listen, because I tell you, here's the funny thing I always tell people. Do you know I was living in Chicago? I had to go home.
That's a good point.
I like, here, all politics are local.
There you go. Brad Sellers joining us. And Brad played with the Bulls, this team that we're hearing so much about. And this is, it's really kind of cool, I think, Brad, the way they're doing this. It's, you know, obviously about the 97-98 season, but they're flashing back like crazy. And some of the jumping in it is a little distracting sometimes to me. But having watched it and been a fan, I can follow it. But you joined the Bulls in Jordan's third year when he was coming back from the injury, when he played only 18 games, and you saw him when he was just going nuts. He averaged 37 points a game your rookie season, and you were there for 3 years. What was that environment like when this guy, you knew that he was on the verge of doing huge things, and then the first year you were with him, he did?
First off, he was a beast, right? And you didn't know it, right? This was before TNT and all the others, right? You had to see the stuff my rookie year, my first 2 years. The stuff he was doing was incredible. Even to this day, it's still incredible, right? And you could see it. It was like a crescendo. It's just building. And I would just tell you, his ability, his abilities were unmatched. They're unmatched to this day. And I've seen a lot of great players. There's nobody like him. Nobody. Period. And it's fun for us because all the former players, we're watching it, right? We're watching it for two reasons. One, to make sure there's no revisionist history here. And the other thing, to make sure you're not getting a knife in your back.
All right, hey, okay, so that's the big question. Jerry Krause, has the portrayal been fair through four episodes?
Jerry was my guy, right? So was Jerry a different guy? Yeah. But, Andy, you know me. In the business I'm in now, I only work with the core of an individual. If your core is good, I work with you all day. If your core looks like it's rotten, I can't fool with you, right?
Right.
And at his core, he was a good dude. very good dude, right? Now, could he rub you the wrong way at times? Yeah, but who couldn't, right? And it's just funny because he assembled that team. I don't think he gets a lot of credit for always knowing. Obviously, Michael was there, but it was the pieces, the other pieces. It was the making and the move. How do you get Scottie Pippen from Seattle for Olden Polynes? How do you do that?
That's a good question.
Right? How do you?
Right.
And Oak's my guy, right?
Right.
Charles Oak is my childhood friend forever, right? But for the betterment of the franchise, we needed Cartwright. Right?
Right.
Needed him. And he went and got it. When they were in that run, they needed some players. They went and got Dennis Rodman, right? When people wouldn't touch him, right?
Yep,
correct.
He told me, and BJ Armstrong always joke with me, right? He said, Brad, you know you're about 10, 12 years before your time. He told me when he drafted me out of Ohio State, he said, I'm gonna make you a small forward. Small forwards were 6'6", 6'7". Nope. You're gonna be a seven foot small forward. Your skill set. Where you shoot it, do some other things. He said, because this is what he told me. This was in 86. This is the way the league is gonna go. You're gonna be the prototype. Now the problem being the prototype, you gotta emulate somebody. Right? And the other thing is the people coaching better understand what you're doing. And Doug was old school. He was like, he ain't playing those. No. Mm-mm. 7 footer better be down on that block. Now, you look at the league now, Jeff, what are they?
You got 6'11 guys jacking up threes.
That's what they do. And Jeff, getting paid an awful lot of money to do it.
Well, now there is that, Brad, isn't there? in watching this thing, and Andy and I talked about it before it started, and we had both talked about Jordan a little bit. I always admired the fact that I never saw him turn down a media interview session. And he was always open and frank. And he knew he was selling shoes, Brad, but he also knew he was selling himself. And he had no problems being honest with anybody. You're seeing that honesty here. When he heard what Isaiah said and then called it BS and everything, I thought, wow.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he's not messing around here.
Let's be clear here. MJ grew into that. He wasn't like that at the beginning. He's a great guy. Can he be hard on people? He absolutely can. But who can't? At his core, man, I just talked about the core, right? At a core, he's a good dude. And you could tell he came from good parents, right? So there's that Southern work ethic in there, right? And it's amazing to me because I did a piece with Jerry Brimbury from the undefeated ESPN, right? The other day, because he wanted my perspective because I played with the Pistons and the Bulls, right?
Yeah,
right.
And they were angling for this Isaiah Jordan thing. I said, let me tell you something. I played with both teams, right? And I can honestly say this. No matter what you thought about either team, especially the Bad Boys, let me tell you something. Everybody on those teams, good people. Bill Laimbeer, a good person. Not could he be a jerk on the floor? Yeah. But at his core, off that floor, he's a good dude. Rodman's a good dude. He got some issues. He's a good dude. Joe Dumars without question. Isaiah Thomas, right? Isaiah Thomas, so folks will know, at his core, a good dude. And so, MJ, so it's funny when I look at it now, because 30 years later, this thing is still simmering, right? A lot of people missed about a lot of things, right? I saw Doug still missed the field. I saw that.
Yeah, that didn't seem to go over real well. I thought it was interesting, too.
To be honest, Doug thought Phil backdoored him. That's what he did. Yeah. Sure did.
You know, the one thing I thought was interesting, Brad, and I wasn't aware, you know, because when with Doug there, Michael was growing, and I didn't know the relationship they had. As you said, you know, they're not all over the place. You didn't know. And then when Phil came in, you kind of thought, well, here comes Michael's guy. And it seemed like it was just the opposite because he loved Doug and wasn't crazy about Phil.
Doug was M's guy because – and Mike told the thing because Doug kept feeding the ball.
Yeah, give me the ball.
and Phil grew – that grew over time, right? Because Phil was with us for a couple of years, right? So we knew Phil, right? But Phil was like, we got to break off of this because – long term, it's not going to help us, right? And so it's been very interesting to see because for us as players, just to see how it goes down every day, some of us are like, oh, man, I forgot about that. I did forget about this, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're there every day, right? It's a funny group, right? So it's for us, here, let me speak for us. For me,
okay,
it's a walk down memory lane, what it is.
Hey, but as a piece of
documentary work, I think it's excellent.
Yeah, I do too. It's really good.
It has been good. Hey, Brad, let me throw a couple other ones at you here. You know, there's talk about, you know, the series might change a little bit, that we might get to see a different side of Michael. I can't imagine what it was like to be a rookie at practice. I'm sure that he what was he like at practice, you know, when you were a rookie, and is there another side of Michael Jordan that we need to see in this documentary?
Well, here, what you gonna see? I don't know what's coming on the other three episodes, right? I mean, the other six episodes, rather. Could he be tough? Yeah. Could he be a jerk someday? Someday. Could he be a genuine good person on other days? I mean, really good. Yeah, I don't have nothing bad to say about it, right? And we didn't always see eye to eye on everything, right? But when it came down, push came to shove, when I needed him to do something for me, he stood for me, right? Hmm. And I ain't going to never forget it.
Fair enough.
And nobody can tell me any different, Andy. So I see them all, man. And this is, Andy, you know in the business I'm in every day, right?
Right.
No permanent friends, no permanent enemies.
Wow. That's really great point.
It's basically, are you, again, at your core, a good person, and can I work with you? Right?
Yeah.
Now, some of this stuff in here, you have to remember, we were 22 years old, 23 years old, living in Chicago. One guy from North Carolina, one guy from Arkansas, another guy from Georgia. Two guys from Cleveland living in a big city like Chicago with all the history of Chicago, right? And we're just playing, having fun. That's all we do, just playing a game. And we didn't even not know. We were just doing it, right? You don't know that it's going to be this big thing at the end, right? And it's... The beauty of the piece is that they're piecing it together, right? So you can understand, because you can't go from the beginning and walk to the end. They take you forward, bring you back. Take you forward, bring you back, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
With a little context here.
Yeah.
Because it makes it better, right? Right. Well, like I said, over the thing, I was just, you know, you asked me about Krause, right? So Krause passed away about 3 years ago, right? 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember. And, you know, his wife called the Cavs, Jeff, and wanted me to come to the service. And we had a game the next day, right? So I had to broadcast. Cavs said, go to the service, right? We want you to go to the service. You know, I broadcast myself from the Bulls practice facility.
No kidding.
In their studio. That's where I broadcast the Cavs show from.
Wow.
Sad thing about this whole thing was this. 30 years later, some guys that should have been at that service weren't there. Because I don't care what you say. Some of what you got today came from that guy that we just put in the ground. And sometimes you have to leave your BS at the door. You do. And you can pick it up on your way out like baggage.
That's a good point.
So, Brad, last thing.
As I go through this series, I see there's a lot of people left over with some baggage. Like the fans in Cleveland on that shot, baggage, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Doug Collinsfield, baggage. Michael and Isaiah, baggage. Isaiah Michael, baggage. Right?
Yeah.
30 years later, this stuff is still going on.
It's funny. Last thing, Brad. And, you know, Andy and I working around sports, you being a professional athlete, you know, we see different things in different sports. But I've always told people the NBA, and I mean, you've got to be unbelievably good to sit at the end of a bench of an NBA team. And there are only 450 guys in the league now, a lot fewer when you played.
Yeah.
And it's more of a family atmosphere where everybody knows each other, and more of a family atmosphere, I think, than people would ever, ever imagine. And not just, like, on a team, but in an entire league. Yet it can be, you know, you can have ornery cousins and aunts and uncles you don't get along with very well.
It's like family. That's right. This, Jeff, that's my family for life, right?
Yeah.
And you could have a falling out with your family at times, but most times you're going to fall back in with them, right? Now, for me, I got a bunch of families, right? I've been around, right? But I would just tell you, I got a Bulls family. I got a Pistons family that I can still lean on, right? When I was, Andy, you know, when they were recruiting Cheyenne, Isaiah calls me.
No.
Sends me a video. No. Like, send her on down here to IU, Brad, quit playing.
Wow.
Right? Seriously.
Right.
But this is 30 years later. This is your family. Isaiah, you know what he told me one time on the bus? Yeah. Man, this is because when I got there, they were almost at the tail end of their careers, right?
Yeah, it was at the end.
And Isaiah asked me, he says, Brad, so what are you going to do in life? I don't know, Zeke. I'm trying to figure it out, right? He said, well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to stay in contact with you because people actually like you. That's what he told me. Which inferred that he was aware that people didn't like him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what he told me on the bus. I never forgot it.
That's
and I was like, he's probably one of the most misunderstood people, right? Because some of the moves he's made over time, right? But at his core, Jeffrey and Andy, he's a good dude. Has he done some things that he probably regrets? He absolutely has, right? There's no way Isaiah Thomas shouldn't be the president of the Detroit Pistons right now. No way. He one of the baddest I've ever played with. Built that franchise to a champion.
True. Hey, Brad, I have one more really quick question for you because we're running out of time. When you got there and Charles Oakley was there, you talked about your friendship, but how odd was that for like two Cleveland guys to be there and be around Jordan and kind of be there? What did that mean? What was that relationship with Oak like for you?
With me and Charles?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, to have him there when you got there.
Oh, it was the best because, you know, cause Charles and I graduated out of high school in 81 here. We were rivals in high school, and we established a friendship from summer league. And that was, for me, Charles made it so much easier for me to assimilate into Chicago. Charles did all the blocking and tackling, cleared the way. He said, come on, basically, right? That's what he did, right? To this day. CO holds a special place in my heart. He does, right? He does. Another good dude. Just at their core, they're good people. Now, forget about what you see on TV, scuffles in the guard. Don't forget about that. Get to who the person is, Andy. That's the only way I can work in this world today. I have to see your soul, right? And I'm a bank on your soul. And so, Charles Oakley, that's why he has good friendships here, right? Now, they're funny. It's a funny setup, but I will just tell you, Charles and I, because I know you got to go, Charles and I would defend Cleveland to the fullest. Because every time we flew into this place or came here, Oh, man, they always had something to say. Mike always had something to say about Cleveland. Oh, we're going into this. Look at this smoky, cloudy, dusty. That's what he would say. And we would defend it on the plane, right? But I tell you what, he enjoyed playing here. Yes, he did.
Yes, we found out.
Because we booed him.
Yes, he did.
We're the only ones who did.
Well, he enjoyed the environment because we would take him out in the city, right? We walked into many a restaurant here, and people just stood up and start clapping for him. Cleveland people.
Really?
And I'll be like, me and Oakley would be like, well, damn. Come on, y'all. We are from Cleveland.
Did that happen all the time?
Remember
all
us?
All the time.
That's funny.
when we were playing in, I think I was playing in Detroit, and Chicago was in the playoff run, and they knew we had got put out of the playoffs. And they were like, where are you at? I was like, I'm in Detroit. They were like, well, we know you're driving down here to Cleveland because we're going to be here for the weekend. I said, I hadn't plans to. Well, those plans have just changed. What time are you getting here?
Wow.
I jump in the car, drive here. We eating out all weekend long. I was like, this is shot two. There was a shot, then there was shot two, right? Like I told you, that's your family.
Yeah.
So I'm watching a family airing on the weekends at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's funny.
And my own kids are watching. They're like, "Ooh, Dad, you were skinny." I said, "Skinny like who, Shay?" No, I'm not skinny like Shay. Skinny like Cheyenne skinny.
Brad, they're not lying.
Yeah, no, right? I look at you, I'm like, hey, yo. I look at you, they had a shot of me with my shirt on. I said, oh, my God.
There was one shot that I caught yesterday that I thought was really interesting, and this is a total Cleveland-based, like, 30-second shot. Eric Collins, who was a guy that went to Cleveland Heights who worked in Chicago, was a reporter. Uh-huh. Standing outside when you guys were there, and then I saw Oakley in the background, and there's a great backstory, and I don't know, maybe we'll get Eric on one day, but Eric says that Charles Oakley, when they were kids, stole his bicycle because, you know, he was down the hill from Cleveland Heights, and he tells this story all the time, and then all of a sudden, boom, Eric Collins pops up, and he's with a microphone in front of Jordan, and I see Oak in the back, and I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. That's crazy. So little Cleveland stories in the background.
There are things in this thing, if you look deep enough, right? There's a story, there's 10 stories within the one story. And that's why I enjoy it, because for me it's a different perspective, obviously, than others. But there's so much. That's why it's a 10-part series. There's too much to tell in an hour. I can only imagine, Jeff, what's going to happen in the next six.
Oh, man, I'm anxious. I got to be honest, Brad. I'm anxious to watch it, and I wasn't sure I was going to at first. And then I read more about it, and I thought, all right, well, this sounds different than what I thought.
It's been great. Jeff, because Mike didn't talk like that in the beginning, right?
Right.
I mean, somebody got him wide open. He's talking now. I mean, he's talking, right?
Well, there was talk that he decided to do this. I mean, I don't know if it's legend or not, but just that he decided to do the documentary the day the – Cavaliers had the parade.
Oh, seriously? I don't know.
Yeah, that was. It's a little side story. If you can find it online, it's just like, oh, that's interesting.
Hey, I told you, we watched it for two things, Andy. Make sure there's no revisionist history, and make sure you're not getting a knife in your back.
Well, you're clean so far, Brad. Yeah,
so
everything
far,
looks clean for
so
you.
Far after, here, so far after four episodes. I'm okay.
Woo. Okay. That's a good one.
It's a little
hey,
thing
Brad.
Of life, yeah. The little thing of life.
Yeah, man. The only thing better than having you on our show is to sit just watch basketball with you and BS. So
I know, man.
I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Tough.
And I know Andy
you
thanks you for
that. You
keep
doing what you're doing cuz
awesome.
Sports fans living through you guys. I mean, it's sad out here, man. We don't have nothing to do.
Keep our
I've done a lot
crossed.
Of home projects, though.
Yard looks great, right, Brad?
Doing some painting.
Brad, we need an ice rink in Warrensville Heights. I'll talk to you about that offline.
Yeah, call me later. Call me, you big hockey guy.
The mayor. Brad, thank you, bud.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Brad.
Brad Sellers, Warrensville Heights. He's the mayor, Ohio State Buckeye, through the inbounds pass. We like him anyway. Joining us on the Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.